In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I just want you to know that God is still on his throne, and he hears and answers prayer. And just as long as your faith in him is intact, everything's going to come out all right. To those who love God and are called to his purpose, all things work together for the good. All things, that's negative as well as positive. God knows how to change evil into good. And I'm talking about evil acts. I'm talking about bad things that we've done. All things work together for the good to those who love God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're looking at the 17th chapter of St. Luke. And it says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than if he should offend one of these little ones, the Anoim, those who trust in God, those who have no one else but God. If he trespass against you seven times, take heed to yourself. If your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he trespasses against you seven times a day, and seven times a day turns again to you, saying, I repent, you should forgive him." Let me tell you what holds people back, holds me back. Lack of forgiveness. Lack of forgiveness holds us back. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You might say, people don't deserve your forgiveness. That's right. I did not deserve the forgiveness of Jesus as he died on the cross for me. Neither did you. No one deserved the forgiveness of God. It is a gift. It is a grace. But I'm telling you, so many people do not grow in the Spirit. Why? Because they are lacking forgiveness. They lack forgiveness. And when you lack forgiveness, nothing happens. Nothing happens. God wants to teach us how to forgive. Now, when we forgive, it doesn't mean that we feel it, but we make an effort to say, in the name of Jesus, I forgive. I forgive who? I forgive my mother, because she wasn't perfect. I forgive myself, because I wanted her to be perfect. You see, forgiveness is an act of the will, and that forgiveness is real. Real. And Jesus teaches forgiveness. He teaches forgiveness if a person wants forgiveness. Jesus teaches it. And his apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had the faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be uprooted and be thou planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Oh, yes, just a little bit of faith. Just as long as your faith in him is intact, everything is going to come out all right. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto the servant by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down and have dinner? And will not he rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may eat, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunk, and after that you shall eat and drink. I'm telling you, Jesus is the servant of the servants, and he calls us to be servant people. Yes, he calls us not to think of ourselves, but to think of other people first. This is wonderful. This is what love is all about. On the cross, Jesus did not think about himself. He thought about you and me, that we would enter into the gates of heaven, because he would forgive our sins. We are to think of others rather than we think of ourselves. We are to be other-centered, no, Jesus-centered, and in experience, other-centered, but always Jesus-centered. Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I say no. I say no. So likewise, you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded, you should say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. You see, faith working through love is what it's all about. Faith working through love. If you have real faith, you're going to be able to be the servant. If you have real faith, you're going to be able to go out of yourself and you're going to help other people. If you have real faith. Faith working through love. Oh, you need both. You need both. We see the story of Lazarus, the sick man. He had faith. And we saw that the rich man had no faith. Lazarus did not go to heaven because he was sick and because he was hungry. He went to heaven because he had faith. The rich man went to hell because he had no faith and he did not feed Lazarus. Faith working through love is what it's all about. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood far off from him. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. I'm telling you, as they went. As we go, things begin to happen. They begin to happen as we go. They just don't happen if we're just sitting around doing nothing. As we go, things begin to happen. I remember last week when we had the live nativity. I was pouting because I knew there wouldn't be a lot of people. But you see, there were a lot of people. And one person comes up to me and says, this is the best part of Christmas that I've had in a long time. And I said to myself, oh, thank you, God, that I didn't destroy this. Thank you, God, that I made it happen. Thank you, God, for the animals that came. You see, we're just unprofitable servants doing what we're supposed to be doing. But the Lord doesn't think of us as unprofitable servants. He thinks of us as his friends. I call you friends, he said. Friends, because I let you know what's going to happen. Do you know that Jesus is our brother, our Lord, our Savior, our friend? Do you know that? Now, these 10 lepers, as they went, they were healed as they went. It's interesting. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Oh, yeah. The 9 Jewish people did not come back to thank the Lord. But the Samaritan, who worshipped at a different place and on a different mountain, came and thanked the Lord. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, only this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole." You know, how filled with gratitude are we? Are we men and women of gratitude, people that thank God for what he's done? To thank God for what he's done. Are we people of gratitude that bless our food before we eat? One minister said, "People who don't bless their food are like dogs that just rush to eat." And I won't tell you, I sometimes forget. And in the middle of it, I'll say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I bless this food in the name of Jesus." This is important, to be men and women of gratitude. People who thank God. Do you know that the Our Father talks about the first thing we should do is hallow the name of the Father? Hallow the name of the Father. "Father, I thank you for all you've given us. Father, I love you. Father, be praised. Father, have mercy on us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name." We are to make holy the name of God. We are to know that the name of God is holy. Very important that someone said this last week, and I really found this was the word of God for me. When everyone says, "God bless America," the thing is that America will change only when it blesses God. Oh yes, we want God to bless America, but we are called to bless God first. Blessed be God. Blessed be his holy name. Blessed be the Father. Blessed be his Son. Blessed be the Holy Spirit. Blessed be God. I bless you, God. Yes, we want God to bless America, but America first has to bless God. That's the important thing. And you know what? We have fallen away from that reality. We have fallen away from that reality. We do not bless God. We are involved with other things. We're all so busy. We're all so busy. It's never too busy to be grateful. Never too busy to bless God. We are called to bless God. If you want him to bless America or bless your house, you are to bless him first. So who came back but the stranger, the Samaritan, the one that was considered by the Jews a dog, came back to thank the Lord for what the Lord did. And it happened on the way. You know, on the way is a name of a series of catechisms years ago, On the Way series. Sister Miriam and I used to say, well, we're on the way. We're going to somebody else's house. We're going to pray with people. Things are going to happen because we're on the way. Verse 20, "And when he was demanded of a Pharisee when the kingdom of God should come, Jesus answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God comes not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo, here is the kingdom, or Lo, there is the kingdom. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" Do you realize that if Jesus is in you, the kingdom of God is within you? There is no kingdom of God without Jesus, the King. So touch your heart right now and say, "Jesus, you're in me. Therefore, the kingdom of God is in me. The kingdom of God is in my heart where you live, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God, I believe that the kingdom of God is in my heart. And I want it to be manifested on the earth as it is in heaven. Oh, yes. I want it to be manifested on the earth as it is in heaven. Do you realize that our Father, if that's all God gave us as the Word of God, it would be enough for salvation, for growth, for everything, because it is the perfect prayer taught by Jesus to the disciples. And he said unto his disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there. Go not after them, do not follow them. For as the lightning that lights up one part of heaven shines unto the other part of heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in this day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation, especially the Jewish people. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. In the days of Noah they did eat, they did drink, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. It's going to be like the days of Noah. The people saw Noah building an ark, and they were saying, we're living in a desert, what is he building an ark for? In other words, they were not ready for the flood. The one that was ready was Noah and his wife and his children. Noah and his children. Likewise also, it was in the days of Lot. They did eat and they did drink. They bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went into Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be on the day of the Son of Man is revealed. In other words, it's like when a thief comes in the middle of the night. You don't expect the thief to come, but he comes, or she comes, to steal and to kill. You don't expect the thief. And the things are going to happen when Jesus comes in glory that people aren't expecting it at that time. That's why we need to believe not only the scriptures that told us all about his earthly coming, and there are all these scriptures that told us of his earthly coming, and he fulfilled them all. If he fulfilled all the scriptures of his earthly coming, he will fulfill the scriptures that say he will come again in glory as the judge of the living and the dead. We need to believe that. We need to believe that Jesus Christ will come in glory as the judge of the living and the dead. Because all the scripture passages about his birth and about his death were all fulfilled. Yes, it said that he'd be born in Bethlehem. It said that he'd be born of a virgin. It said that he would die on a cross. It said that he would do miracles. It said that he would rise from the dead. Every scripture that talked about Jesus' earthly ministry came about. And if they came about, what about his heavenly ministry when he comes as the Savior of the world to judge the living and the dead? Let's continue. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife, she turned back and became a pillar of salt. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose his life. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, are you living for yourself today? Who are you living for today? If you're living for the Lord, you are losing your life, and you have had your life saved by the blood of the Lamb. Who are you living for today? It's not only did I make a commitment to Jesus, but who are you living for today? Are you living for Jesus? Are you thinking of others? Are you thinking of how you can help others? How you can bless others? What are you doing today? Or you say, well, I am saved. Well, saved is wonderful, but it's faith working through love. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. One shall be taken and the other will be left. There will be two women grinding together. One shall be taken and the other left. There will be two men that shall be in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wherever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Chapter 18. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men always ought to pray and not get discouraged. I tell you, discouragement is always the walking stick of the devil. That men should pray always and not get discouraged. And he said, there was a city judge who feared not God nor regarded man. This is a judge that was into himself, and he didn't fear God, and he didn't fear people. You know, it says, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said to himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continued coming she weary me out. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry out to him day and night, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? I tell you, that scripture scares me. Because Jesus is coming again in glory, of the being the judge of the living and the dead. And when he comes again, will he find faith upon the earth? Will he find faith in you? Will he find faith in me? This is so important, because Jesus is coming back. But will he find faith? Will he find faith in the church? Has the church become one big corporation? Or is it the place of faith where people meet God and each other and are able to grow in faith working through love? What's it all about? What's it all about? It's about the Lord himself inspiring faith in people so that they would be able to love one another. Yes, it's all about faith working through love. This story about the unjust judge compared to the Heavenly Father is good. And if the unjust judge would answer the woman, how much more will the Heavenly Father, who gave us Jesus, answer the people who pray to him? And if he answered them speedily, oh, keep on praying. Do not stop praying. It is so important to pray. It is so important to continue praying. It is so important because we need to continue to pray. Just as long as your faith is intact, everything's going to come out all right. You need to know a couple of things. It's not only faith. It's faith working through love. It's faith working through love. If you have real faith, you have real love. It's really becoming, what's the word? Becoming dead to self and alive to God. We need to become dead to self. And what we've died with Christ in baptism. And what about a dead person? A dead person is facing in one direction, and a facing in one direction has no plans of its own. Our plan should be the plans of the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Do you have living faith? Is your faith intact? Is your faith intact in Jesus himself? Are you loving? Are you loving? Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Faith working through love. This is what's important. Faith working through love. Faith alone is not enough. It's got to be working through love. Faith without works is dead. Yes, I am not saved by my works. I'm saved by grace, which leads to faith working through love. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.